And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, you know, there's a couple of wonderful verses in the Bible that I really appreciate, and I've always taken heed of them, and they meant something to me. You know, every verse in the Bible is powerful, and you may not realize it, but I believe God packed every one with what I guess you would call it dynamite meaning. And sometimes you don't really get the meaning until much later. You know, you read something and then, oh, maybe a couple years later, maybe 2 months later, you're driving your car, you're taking a shower, you're, I don't know, washing dishes, and you begin to dwell on that verse. And then it strikes you and suddenly you understand it. And it's so all powerful. And you almost cry out and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for educating me, for helping me to know the meaning of that verse. This is why the Bible is packed with meaning, my friends. Now, I want to give you two verses today. We're going to start off this program. It's going to be a great program because we're going to be talking about the foolishness of genealogies. As you know, my newest book is entitled DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. We now know the DNA of the Jewish bloodline. And interestingly enough, it doesn't go all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but really we can trace it back to the 8th century when the people of Khazaria, a country in the southern Russia, converted to Judaism. Of course, they're what we call today Georgians, Chechnyans, Kazakhstan, all those countries in that area of the Caucasus. But the people converted. They had a king named King Bulan, and he, you know, investigated the other religions, Christianity and Islam, but he decided for various reasons to select Judaism, and this is what he taught his people. Now, they were not Jews, they were Khazarians, but they became Jews by religion. They converted. Later, in about the 10th century on through the 12th century, those people were defeated because Russia began to expand and expand through its czars. And Khazaria was one of the nations that was gobbled up by the Russian czars. And many of the Khazarians immigrated, that is, they left that country and moved to Eastern Europe. They went west. They went over to Poland mostly, but also Czechoslovakia, into Romania, Poland, of course, as I just said, Hungary, Lithuania. And there they became a cloistered people. They were Khazarians, of course, but they began to speak a form of Yiddish, and that's where Yiddish came from. Now, Israel Shahak, the late professor at Hebrew University in Tel Aviv, he recently passed away, wrote a brilliant book, a scholarly volume entitled Jewish History, Jewish Religion. And he wanted to publicize to the world. And here's a guy, and remember, he went over to Israel. He himself was a Khazar Jew, Israel Shahak. But he served in the Israeli Defense Forces and became a professor at Hebrew University. But he realized how wicked and evil was the Jewish religion. And he would have no part in it. The roots of Judaism Professor Shaak reported, led the Jews throughout the centuries to inhabit a tragic mental and spiritual habitat. He said, and I want to quote him, theirs was a world sunk in the most abject superstitions, fanaticism, and ignorance. They thought they were Jews, racially even. They read the Talmud and believed in the Talmud, which is the holy book of the Jews. The Old Testament, of course, is not the main doctrinal or dogma book of the Jewish religion, but the Babylonian Talmud is, that came out of Babylon. And it today is the number one holy book. It contains the 613 laws, the halakha of the Jews. 613 laws and all the commentary about them. Who is written, who is the writer, the author of the Talmud? Well, it would be the Jewish rabbis. It's commentary about what the rabbis had to say. It's sort of like the Catholic dogma that you find in the Catholic catechism. The Catholics add the catechism to the Bible. And they say you really can't understand the Catholic Church and be a good Catholic unless you understand our dogma, which is in the catechism book. Because the catechism contains the collected wisdom of all of the popes. So they have added then man's ideas and traditions to the Bible in the Catholic Church. Just so they have done so in the Jewish faith. But they've done much more than that. They finally just ditched the Bible. So that when you go to be a rabbi today, if you choose to be a rabbi, you generally do not study the Bible at all, but you study only the law book, the Babylonian Talmud. He says, wherever the Jews went, and that means the Khazars, they kept themselves isolated. They kept themselves in a community. We would call it a ghetto or whatever. But they would not talk with other people. They would not have communication with other people, except as they needed to carry on commerce and make money. This led them to become basically, dare I say it, idiots as far as the world is concerned. Can you imagine being with someone like David Koresh and you're kept on his compound and you're not allowed to go into the world and after hundreds of years stuck on that, in that compound, how very introverted and perverse you could be. And the rabbis became very powerful authorities in those Jewish communities in Poland, in Lithuania, in Hungary, later into Germany and France and England and even the United States. They eventually forgot that they were Khazars. Just like most people in the United States, when you ask them what they are, they may say, well, I'm French or I'm German or I'm English. But quite often they say, well, I'm a little bit of this, a little bit of that. They've forgotten who they really are. They now have DNA, you know, commercial houses, DNA, the Ancestry.com and others. You've seen them advertised on television. So the person can go there and say, what am I? Analyze my DNA. Sometimes there are startling results from analyzing your DNA. It cost about $100 or so. But more and more people are doing that. But Shaak said that the Jews inhabited a world sunk in the most abject superstitions, fanaticism, and ignorance. He says this ancient superstitious Pharisaic religion, because they remain Pharisees, has now experienced a rebirth. It now grips and infects the reborn physical nation of Israel. They believe now that they've got Israel. We have the nation of Israel once again after 2,000 years. Well, actually, they never had it in the first place, the Khazars. But believing themselves to be Jews, many of them have rushed back into the Middle East. I even overstate that, don't I? Rushed back in. This is their first time at the bat, my friends. And they have returned to the closed society of the Jewish past. Before, they were forced to be in commerce with the Polish people, the Lithuanians, the Estonians, the Russians, the French. Wherever they were, the Jews had to at least mingle some to get along, to buy products. But you would always know the Jewish area of town. That wasn't because they were stuck to be there. They could move, you know, many times anywhere they wanted, but they wanted to be with their own kind. They said, we're Jews. We're better than those people. We have our Talmud. It says we're gods. We shall inherit all things. We shall become as kings. The Gentiles, they were Gentiles, but they were unable to know that, being Khazars. They fancy themselves Jews and not Gentiles. When they were able to attain the nation of Israel, because of our President Truman and the chairman of the Communist Party in the Soviet Union, Joseph Stalin, then they returned to the closed society of the Jewish past. They could be in Israel and not have to be infected by the Gentiles, they believe. Except for those pesky Palestinians who they have sought to destroy all these many years. Now, Shaiach goes on to describe in his book, Jewish History, Jewish Religion, an outstanding book, in great detail the calculating lies of Judaism, its severe racism, its hatred of Christianity. Judaism, he says, directly fosters genocide and the heights of evil. This is from one of their own, one of the Khazars. He says the Jews are liars. One of the things they are lying about is their genealogy. I proved that in my book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. They're even lying about who they are. They're not Jews at all. They're not from Israel, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're not returning to Israel. They never were there in the first place. And they have lied about this for so long, they believe it. Many of them do. But I think the elite cabal know the truth. Now, it's an interesting thing to me that the Bible understands all these things. Written so many hundreds of years ago, even thousands, nevertheless, it has wisdom for today. And we do not obey the Bible. We do not read and understand and study the Bible and ask God for more understanding at our own peril. For example, in 1 Timothy 1, verse 4, it says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Friends, you have the faith. You have Jesus Christ in your hearts. Why then do you go back into the mindless and endless nonsense of genealogies? That's what he says. He was a Jew, a real Jew, not a Khazar. He even knew what tribe he was from, the tribe of Benjamin. But he said, don't give any heed. In other words, don't pay any attention to fables and endless genealogies. They only bring up more questions. They minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. You want to ask a person, are you a Christian? Has Jesus come in your heart? Are you saved? You don't want to say, now, are you a Jew or a Gentile? God doesn't have Jews and Gentiles. He only has his people and the other ones. Sort of cuts out all that discrimination and prejudice, doesn't it? I get letters from you say, are you also a white supremacist? Am I also a white supremacist? Are you kidding me? I write them back and I say, are you a Jewish supremacist? I'm not a supremacist at all. There's a lot of bad things happening among the black people in America. Bad things. The crime rate and so forth. But as to whether an individual is good or bad. I look at the individual. If a man is a black and is a Christian and is a good person, they're welcome at my home. If they're not, if they're a bad sort of person, an evil person, well, I will tell them about Jesus. I'll try to correct their behavior. But if not, then goodbye. I don't want anything to do with them. But I'm not going to ask them their genealogy. What tribe did you come from in Africa? What nation did you come from? Are you a black, or a half white black? That's nonsense. It's nonsense talking about endless genealogies. Now, I have my friends over. I had a couple of friends over. They told me they had their DNA analyzed. I said, oh, what'd you turn out to be? And they said, oh, it was really interesting, you know. We thought we were English, but we turned out to be Norwegian and blah, blah, blah. It was sort of interesting, sort of fun. It lasted about 10 minutes of discussion, then that was it. I didn't give them any favoritism because they were Norwegian. They didn't know they were Norwegian either. They've been in America all their lives, have English names. Okay, good. It's fun. It's not endless, folks. That's what Paul talks about here, and it's not a fable. What we're talking about with the Khazar Jews are fables, myths, lies. They made it up. And they've been lying about it so long, they don't even know the difference. It's my job to let them know the difference. That's what I feel like. That's what God's told me to do. Write a book so they'll know the difference. That's why I wrote my book. But they don't like knowing the difference. They're angry at me. They want to kill me. A man who told them the truth, who gave them the scientific evidence. Well, that's okay too. I still don't believe in their fables and their endless genealogies. And when you separate yourself according to genealogy, well, I'm a Messianic Christian. There are no Messianic Christians. There's only Christians. Well, I'm a Messianic Jew. What is a Messianic Jew? I'm a Messianic nothing. I mean, come on. All these variations, all these divisions. It's evil, folks. It's evil. Titus 3, verse 9 also has the same thing. Listen to this. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. Well, I still believe the law. You know, God gave us the law. And do you believe the law? If you don't believe the law, you're not really a Christian. And shut up. You believe the law, then you better obey every item, every iota of the law. If you don't, you're going straight to hell. I don't want to be messing around with the law. I don't care about the law. I care about what God has put on my heart. That's the only law I care about. That's what will profit me, what God puts on my heart. So you believe you can go out and just sin and do all that? I didn't say that, did I? Faith without works is dead, but faith with works is true life. I have faith and God gives me works to do every day. Isn't that wonderful? I get up out of bed. I have work to do that day. Now, you may not have the same work I do, but you've got work to do. There's something that's going to happen to you every day of your life that's going to relate to your Christian duty. You don't have to look for it. God will send it in your path. He will He'll make sure you know of it, friends. But avoid foolish questions. Are you Jewish or Christian, do you believe in the law or not? Or do you believe in the old covenant or the new covenant? Or shut up. That's foolish questions and genealogies and contentions. It's contentious, my friends. It's argumentative. You can argue all day. I have people writing me letters. Oh, well, you know, you just don't understand. You know, the Jews are a special people and God tells us to bless them or he won't bless us. And shut up. I don't worry about genealogies. You do. You see what I mean? God has told us what to do here. He's told us that they're foolish. Foolish questions. Foolish genealogies. Endless genealogies. Fables. Now, please, be quiet and listen to God. I don't understand, Jerry. Jerry's my broadcaster over here. I don't understand why people don't listen to God. Why listen to all this nonsense? Somebody told me that they're a Messianic Jew, and they're going to vote very soon in their congregation as to whether a Jew can marry a Christian or not. Because the rabbi, a Christian rabbi, says he believes the Jews should stay separate. Yes, you Christians can that are Gentiles, you can come here to our service. But a Jewish person should not marry a Gentile. He's dividing them. You can't even marry whoever God tells you to. Let me tell you something, friends. Don't let anybody tell you who you can marry. You're an adult. Listen very closely to the advice of your parents. They do know better than you, generally. They do know more than you, young person. Listen to your parents, but they're not the end all. But you better listen to them, because you're going to make a big mistake if you don't. Listen to them and take your time. But most of all, listen to God. He'll tell you who to marry. He'll give you the right answer. It'll probably be the very same one your parents said too, by the way. Okay. All right. Now, I want to talk about this a little bit, because it's so vital. Now, this is proven in the Bible. Let me just show you some of the things out of the Word of God. Matthew 8, 5, 13. Let's see what Jesus thought about this. Let's see what Jesus says about genealogies. Matthew 8, 5 through 13, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. That is a Roman centurion. Folks, a Roman centurion is a very powerful military man, trained man. A professional, no doubt. He has about 100 soldiers under his command. And this centurion came to Jesus, beseeching him, seeking him out, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. This centurion went looking for Jesus, and he found him. And what was his concern? Was it he wanted to know about his marriage or his personal life or his, was he going to end up a general or what was his problem? His servant was sick. His servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. This bothered that centurion. He cared deeply. He loved that servant. That tells me a lot about the man, that one sentence. Tells me almost everything I need to know about him. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Right away, the centurion got what he wanted. Of all the people in Israel and throughout the world, Jesus chose his servant and said, I will go to your house and I will heal him. There were plenty of sick people there. They didn't have adequate health care. He certainly didn't have Obamacare. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Wow. But you're not supposed to go and associate with Gentiles. You're not supposed to go to their homes. They're going to say bad things about Jesus. The Jews will. How dare you? Those are dogs. They're no better than dogs, especially a Roman centurion, and you go to his house, take your valuable time and to heal his servant? Oh my. Verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I gotta read that again. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should cometh under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. It wasn't that he was embarrassed at his belongings. He probably had a very nice residence. He was a centurion, for goodness sake. Wouldn't you have liked to have had Jesus come to your house? Oh, what a pride, a bounce of pride that would have given you. But the centurion, this powerful military man, had over 100 soldiers under him, said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come to my house under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. I'm a man of authority, he said. I tell a soldier, go there, and he goes. Come here, he comes. Tell my servant, do that, and he does it. That's all you need to do. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. He had his disciples. He had chosen them. Why didn't they have the faith? He said, I have not seen anyone with this great of faith throughout Israel. And it was a Roman, a Gentile, not a Jew. Verse 11, Jesus said, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Wow. But the children of the kingdom, said Christ, shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. That's the Jews. Because later on Jesus said, I'm taking the kingdom away from you and giving it to another nation that will bring forth fruit. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. As he had faith, it was done unto him that very hour his servant was healed. I haven't seen faith this great in all of Israel. And it was a Roman centurion. That's what Jesus thought about the Gentiles. That's what he thought about the Jews. That is what Jesus believed about faith. Because, my friends, the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, as we read in Romans chapter 2, and is going to come upon this earth, and every person will receive according to his deeds. According to his deeds. Verse 11 of Romans 2 says, for there is no respect of persons with God. There is no respect of persons with God. You say, I'm ugly. I was born fat. I was born skinny. I was born with pimples. I was born without hair. I don't know what you have. Or maybe you're a lovely person. God doesn't care. He looks at your heart. There is no respect of persons with God. But wait, the Jews now, God's made them special. They're the apple of his eye. They're God's chosen people. What does it say? For there is no respect of persons with God. Why don't you believe the Bible? For goodness sake. I'll be right back after this brief message. Stay with us, won't you? I'm Tex Mars. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. My new book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. It's the first ever book on this subject. And I'll tell you, the Khazar Jews would like to bury it under a rock somewhere from the mail I've been getting. But, you know, it's a wonderful book. And I'm having many Christians write to me and say, wow, you sure made it plain. Now we know what the DNA science says. DNA, it's the mathematics of God. It's how they made you and me and everything. Now we're finding that biology is going to be, well, they say it's going to be the science of the 21st century. Now you may think this is the computer age or the high tech age or the, you know, the, I don't know, the iPhone age, whatever. But you're wrong. It's going to be the biological age. And scientists are working very fast and hard and spending our tax dollars, by the way, on it, many of them. What are they working on? They're working on new ways to weld or to manipulate DNA. They've even made creatures together. They've got pigs spliced with human genes. Now, I don't care to see a pig that's part human, do you? And they're trying to build super soldiers. I don't know whether that would be 6'6" and powerful and strong, whatever. All kinds of things going on here in biology. This is the century of biology. But I believe God has given us this double helix, this DNA. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I can see what the scientists are doing. And it is amazing in my eyes that God created this universe. Everything you're looking at, look around you, my friends. Everything is made with DNA. It's made by a formula, mathematical. If you rearrange the formula, you're going to have a different thing, a different item, a different creature. It's astonishing, isn't it? DNA. It tells you how you're made, what you're made of. It seems that all human beings are made of the same DNA product, just rearranged in different ways. Wanda told me, she said, you know, look at a face. Look at a simple face. I mean, everybody has two eyes, a nose, and a mouth. Everybody's got the same thing, don't they? Two eyes, a nose, and a mouth. But some it's put together in a marvelous way, and others, well, not too good. Some people don't want to go to the mirror every morning. You know, I'm not too awake every morning myself, and I get a little bit of a fright when I look in the mirror in the mornings. But I don't turn to God and say, God, why didn't you make my DNA different? Why didn't you give me a different DNA? He's made me what I am. But someday we're going to get a new DNA, a spiritual DNA. You're going to be a different person. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it won't be DNA. Maybe that's only the physical, carnal world. But I know this, God told us how we would know each other. Out of one blood, God made all the people on the face of the earth. Did you know that? That's in the book of Acts. Out of one blood, God made all the people on the face of the planet earth. That sort of does away with prejudice and discrimination, doesn't it? That sort of does away with Jews and Gentiles. We all come from the same blood. And God tells you there's slight little variations according to whether he manipulated the DNA this way or that way. God was having fun, wasn't he? Think about it. It's like I can imagine God, as if he were a human being, which he's not, you know, is manipulating DNA like putty, creating this person and that person. Boy, he had a ball, didn't he? Just had fun with it. The DNA. Now we know that Jews are not Jews. They're Khazars. We know where they came from. You can go right to their tribe, right to their people, right to the place where they came from through DNA. Now, many of the Khazars are angry today. They want to be Jews. I want to be a Jew. I'm not a Khazar. I'm a Jew. That's what they say. But my friends, blood tells. Blood is revealing. Blood speaks volumes. This book is 256 pages. 256 pages of explanation. But all of it comes down to this. We have scientifically validated that the Jews are not Jews. They are Khazars. I do not know if anywhere on this earth there is a Jew. But they claim to be Jews. You see, God even foresaw that would happen. And he gave us two verses. God is always good. He confirms it, doesn't he? Revelation 2, verse 9. You read it and go, Then the very next chapter, Revelation 3, verse 9. Wow. Them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. That's it. If you say you're a Jew and you're not, then you're the synagogue of Satan. And God says something is eventually going to happen to those people. Being liars, being wicked, they're eventually going to be forced to bow down at your feet, Christian friend. I've always loved in the Bible where it tells me that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow and declare that he is Lord and Savior. It might be right before they're thrown down into hell. I don't know. But everybody's going to say that. Everybody's going to say, yes, you are Lord and Savior. It's appointed for everyone once to die. Afterward, the judgment. That's where you're going to learn. If you don't know now, you will learn. You will discover. You'll be on your knee before God. And he'll say, come on in, good and faithful servant. Or he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. He has chosen you and me before the foundation of the world. Before the Roman era, before the Babylonian era, before the Aztecs or the Mayans or whatever, we were already chosen by God. And God in our DNA left traces of understanding so that men could go back and find out where you come from. And that's what I report in my book. Now, when you get your DNA analyzed, you may not like it. Some people may say, wow, I have a little bit of black in my blood. I don't want that. Some may say, I have white in my blood. I don't like that. Well, it doesn't matter what you like. That's what you are. That's what God made you. I think you ought to be proud of it. Whatever God made you, just be proud of it and go on. You've only got 60, 70, 80, 90 years on this earth. Then you're either going to hell or to heaven. You're going to live forever. Hopefully in heaven. Now, the other place, I'm sorry, there's different fate going to await you, but I want you to know what the Jews are. It's important because all of these Christian Zionists or Judaizers out there, and they have determined in their mind where the Jews are going. They believe the Jews have their own covenant. They believe the Jews are still a separate people. They believe that the Jews are God's chosen people. They're the apple of his eye. You better bless the Jews or God will not bless you. All of these things they made up. Yes, they've got part of it. They miscommunicated, misinterpreted the holy word of God. I mean, go to Hebrews. Paul said, here we have no continuing city. Oh, yes, we got the Holy Land, Jerusalem. That's the eternal continuing city. No, it's not. Why don't you believe the Bible? All you've got is the Old Testament. You keep going back to that. And God explains the Bible in his own words. I used to love Paul Harvey, the newscaster. He had a little feature called The Rest of the Story. It always had a little surprise, a little twist at the end of it. You think you knew this person or that person or their life or what happened to them, and then the end of the story comes. And you go, wow, that was something, wasn't it? That's what God does. God has confounded mankind with DNA. All of these Khazars went over into Israel, and with Rothschild money, they bludgeoned the Palestinians and took over that place, and now they're running roughshod and killing more Palestinians, and now they're making there's upheaval and death and destruction all over the Middle East because of the Jews and the United States. But they're only doing it because we're Jews. Yeah, we're Jews, and God made us God. Find out what God really made in my book. It's a scientific book. And it's real because it combines the Bible with science. I want you to have this book. For $20, we'll send you this book. Please add $5 shipping and handling. Ask for DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. And we'll send it right to you. We got plenty of copies. We're going to get more printed up. I know that the Khazars, they despise it. They're trying to prove it wrong. They're going all these little bitty geneticists around the world saying, here, give me something to show that this is wrong. But they won't be able to. It's the definitive study done on DNA. It's the definitive by Johns Hopkins Medical University. And Genome Biology and Evolution Journal. You've got to have this book. DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. $20, add $5 shipping and handling. We'll get it right out to you. When somebody comes up to you and asks you what you believe about the Jews, say, well, it all has to do as to whether they or someone else is the seed of Abraham. They say, oh, yeah, it's the Jews. It's their blood. Yeah, that's right. Well, now I've got a book for you. You see, the seed is Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. The seed is Jesus. Did you know that? When people tell me, well, the seed is the Jewish people. Not what the New Testament says. Galatians 3, verse 16, the seed is Jesus. And everyone who believes in Jesus, who are his children, are the seed. You see, he's framed us all. We're perfectly fitted into the overall structure, friends. We frame a building. He's the master carpenter. Did you ever wonder why he was a carpenter? Think about that. He's the master carpenter. He's framed you in. He's perfectly fitted. And Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter. You're fitted somewhere in there. All right. Our phone number, of course, is area code 800. That's free. 234-9673. Okay. Well, I've only known it 20-something years, right? 1-800-234-9673. That's toll-free. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com or textmars.com, powerofprophecy.com or textmars.com. Look for the book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Order it, and you won't be sorry, friends, because it's going to give you the Bible, a biblical understanding, and the scientific understanding. And science, true science, not vain babblings of science so-called, says in the Bible, but true science will always confirm God's word. If it doesn't, you better do some more checking. All right? Okay, now, our address here is 1708 Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now, let's return to our regular program. We're talking today about the foolishness of genealogies, about 1 Timothy 1, verse 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. You see, God has brought Jews into his kingdom and Gentiles, both the same. That's faith. So why do we go back to these fables, these myths, and these endless genealogies? Why do we do that? Then Titus 3, verse 9. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Think about that. I have a Jew that's writing to me right now saying, well, Israel is the greatest country in the world. And he was born here in America, of course. And Israel is the greatest country in the world. And you're going to have to understand that. And God's made them the chosen people. And I'm a Jew myself. And I know what I'm talking about. And oh, shut up. He's all eat up with genealogies, isn't he? And he wants to argue with me. He wants to contend with me and strive with Tex Mars. That's all foolishness. It's unprofitable. It's vain. So I wrote him back and I said, I actually quoted him Isaac Asimov, the famous science fiction writer. He was once asked a question, are you really not a Khazar? See, he was Jewish. He was not a Zionist, but he was a Jewish man. Are you a Khazar? He said, I might be. Looks like a lot of research is done in that area. And he says, I very well could be a Khazar. But he said, you know, I don't waste my time on that stuff. Who cares? I like that. I like Isaac Asimov. You know, he did the book, you've seen the movie I, Robot. He's done all these robotic movies, and he's the creator of all those. I think the guy wrote hundreds of books, science fiction. I don't care whether I'm a Khazar or not. There you, I like that. Who cares, he said. Well, these people, these Jews contacted me, they all care. Oh, they care so deeply. They've got to be a Jew. You know why? It'll make money for them. It'll give them the land. It'll kick out the Palestinians, who are, in fact, the true Jews. But, well, read my book, you'll know about that. They've got to hang on. They've got to be known as Jews, or they can't deceive the Christian church anymore. They can't be special. They can't, my goodness. I mean, I'm righteous. I'm good. I know more than other people do. I'm a Jew. Hey, friends, I don't care what you are. But don't tell me you're better than somebody else. Now, let's look at this. Romans chapter 3. Let's go to 2, chapter 2. Paul there talks about circumcision and uncircumcision. He said, I'm ministering to the uncircumcised. And you don't need to be circumcised, Paul said. Because God has circumcised your heart. In other words, he puts the knowledge in there of what to do, of how to obey him, to be a new creature. Verse 28, he says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, whose praise is not of men, but of God. That's it. All these Jews, they want you to praise them. They're special. But you're not, he's not a, well, I'm outwardly a Jew. You see, well, first of all, you're a Khazar. But even if you were a Jew, it wouldn't matter to Christian. That's endless genealogies. It's going to go on forever and ever. You're bragging, bragging, bragging. You're a Jew if you're one inwardly. But I've been circumcised. Well, golly, zip up your pants, fella. Don't show everybody. Don't tell everybody about it. That's your business if you want to be circumcised. What is it? That doesn't give anybody an advantage. You think it does? Okay, well, fine, but it doesn't matter to me. Verse 9 of chapter 3 says, what then, are we better than they? Talking about the Jews here. Are we better as Jews? He's asked the question right out. What then, are we better than they? No, and no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The Jew and the Gentile, none of them are righteous. They all should accept Jesus Christ through faith. They don't come to Jesus and say, now I'm a Jew, Lord. Make me your disciple. I think there'll be silence in heaven when he says that. I'm a Jew. I come from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You've got to take me. I have the Abrahamic covenant. Silence in heaven. There's none righteous, no, not one. And then chapter 3 of Romans, it says, where is boasting then? Verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. That excludes you boasting. If God forgave you of your sins, and it was none of your doing, but all of God's, praise the Lord Jesus, it was all of his doing. What are you boasting about? Well, I'm Jewish. I'm of this tribe, and I'm of that, and I'm a Messianic Christian, and I have a Messianic congregation, and God gave me a Jewish wife, and my name is, I don't care. None of that matters to God. He's already said, stop all your endless genealogies. That's unprofitable. It's vain. Verse 28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, how many of you out there saying, yeah, but the Jews still have the law? The Jews have the law. They're going to hell with the law. They're going to hell with the law. Why? Paul said it, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Verse 29 says, is he the God of the Jews only? I mean, this is just, why haven't you read this before, Christian Zionist? Why don't you read the Bible? Why don't you read Romans? Why don't you read Hebrews? Why don't you read Galatians? Goodness gracious. Do I have to stay here every week and hit the same thing? Somebody writes to me and says, you're talking about Jews all the time now. Well, it seems like I have to. The same man came back and gave me his baloney about the Jews are God's chosen people. He just didn't like what I was saying about the Jews. I'm going to keep saying it until he comes back and says, okay, now I get it. Verse 29, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Were you circumcised? Well, good for you. Oh, you're female and you couldn't be circumcised. Well, there's a problem right there, isn't it? Or is it a problem? Doesn't matter, does it? One God, he doesn't need two peoples. Why would God need two peoples? Think about it, friends. Why would God need two peoples? He's got rules for all that are the same, and he puts them in your heart. Now, he's going to explain this to you. Verse 13 of chapter 4. For the promise, remember the promise given Abraham? That he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The promise came how? Through faith. He was made heir of the world, not of Israel, of the world, through faith. It wasn't the law. It wasn't his race. It wasn't his blood. It wasn't the fact that he was a Babylonian. Oh, what did I just say? Abraham was a Babylonian. Yes, he came from Ur of the Chaldees. That's in Babylonia. Oh, he didn't start off as a Jew? No. Jews not even mentioned as to Abraham. For the promise, that's the promise of God, the promise to given Abraham. What is that? That he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. It's not of the law. The Jews can't say, well, we have the law and that's why we have the promise. We're the heirs. Boy, they haven't read the Bible. What is Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 says, it says, and if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You're the heir of Abraham. You've got the promise given Abraham. You're the seed of Abraham. But I'm just a Gentile. I can't have the seed. I'm not the seed. Well, you don't have to be then. Just disavow it. Lord, I disavow you. I'm not the seed of Abraham. I'm not the heir. I'm not the promise. You see, when Jesus gave you the faith, you have the faith and you believe in him, then guess what? You become the seed of Abraham and you're an heir. You have the promise. What is that promise? You're going to go to heaven. You're going to have the kingdom of God in your heart. That's the promise. That's the promise. That is the promise. Verse 16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Who is he the father of? Us all. Are you part of all? You don't want to be part of all? Okay, then get out. You're not part of all. You're not part of Christ. You don't have, you're not fitted in. That perfect frame. You're not the temple of God. You're not part of the temple. You've already said it. I'm not the seed of Abraham. I don't have the promise given Abraham. I'm not an heir. Okay, then you're not. The tongue is a mighty instrument. Speak the tongue and it will be done. But it's a faith. Are you a faith? Then you can be the seed. You can have the promise. Because Abraham is the father of us all, Gentile and Jew. It doesn't make a difference at all. As it is written, verse 17, I have made thee a father of many nations. No, he's just a father of Israel now. Text, you misunderstand that they're the seed and he's the father of Israel. Would you listen to God's word? Don't listen to Tex Mars. I'm a half idiot. I don't have brains. I don't know anything, but I can read. I can read. I can understand. And I trust in God. I have faith in him. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. That's what he told Abraham. Verse 18 says, who, Abraham, against hope, believe in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Oh my goodness. He staggered not, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. Listen to this. It was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. If you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, do you believe in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ? Then it's been imputed to you for righteousness. Well, I need to do certain things. I have works I have to do. No. Maybe you have works to do. Maybe God's got a great mission for you. But that's not what will make you the heir. It will not give you the promise. You will not have the righteousness that is needed. That's what's needed. Righteousness, not your works, not your acts. If you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, then your genealogy is unprofitable. Your genealogy may be endless and ongoing, and you can strive forever about it. You may not be happy with the first DNA analysis. You may send it to a second company or a third company. Here, analyze my DNA. I want it to say this or that. That's what these Khazars are saying. I don't like finding out that I'm not a Jew. I want to be one. Redo it. Well, God will not redo the helix. He will not redo the DNA. It's done. But guess what, Khazar? You're just like Tex Mars. You're just like every other person listening to this program. You who accept Jesus Christ, who believe that he was raised from the dead, you're greater than a Jew or a Gentile. You're a Christian. You're the greatest person in the world. You have the kingdom of God in your heart. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is Tex Mars being with you today, talking about foolish genealogies and the wondrous love of Jesus Christ. I'll be back next week. May God richly bless you.